I'd like to join the other brethren in welcoming everybody out here this morning. It's always a pleasure and a true blessing anytime we can assemble in the house of God and study another portion of His Word. And I really appreciate all your participation so far and the singing of praises and prayers, especially the prayers on my behalf. And it's my prayer this morning that the things we study are in strict accordance to God's Word and also useful and beneficial to you throughout the rest of your lives as we continue on. So as you can see, we're going to be continuing the series that we started last time when it was my turn to speak, talking about the tree by the water. So we're going to be continuing on a little bit more. Last time, if you remember, we had talked a little bit about a couple ways we can be more like this tree planted by the water, and that was with prayer and with meditation of God's Word. So if you pick up your Bibles, I'll have the verses on the screen behind me. Let's start with Jeremiah chapter 17, reading verse 7 and 8, where we get the passage. Jeremiah 17, reading 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So here we have the text this morning that we're going to be talking about once again, about this tree planted by the water. So we have a couple descriptions of it. It says she spreads out her roots by the river, so she continues to grow and to take in nourishment. She doesn't see when heat cometh, and she's not careful when there's a drought. So she doesn't worry about the things she can't control. And there's always going to be hard times, but she doesn't have to worry about it. And it also says she will never cease from yielding fruit. So she's constantly yielding fruit for the kingdom of God. So as we continue on, I want to look at a couple more ways that we can continue to feed our root system in Christ and become stronger and grow larger like this tree planted by the water. So this morning, we're going to look at a couple ways we can do this. And the first way we're going to look at is personal or individual studying of God's Word. It's your personal responsibility to take this on. The second thing we're going to look at this morning is group study or fellowshipping with one another. So I first want to start out with the understanding that when we study the Bible and when we look at the Word of God, that we are truly reading and studying the Word of God. It's not any private interpretation of man. It will be just like God, you were sitting at God's feet and He were teaching you directly. That's how we can compare the Bible that we have today. If you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, reading verse 19 through 21, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So all these 66 books that we have in the Bible, man didn't write them. Man did not come up with those. It was God's Word. God led men to put these on paper for us today. So anytime we study God's Word, we're reading the true Word of God. It's coming directly from Him. So the first point that we're going to look at is how individual study can help our life and how we can be like the tree planted by the water. So if we look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In 2 Timothy, it tells us to study to show thyself approved. So it's my responsibility in order to show myself approved. And it's your responsibility in order to show yourself approved. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. It's a personal and individual responsibility to study the word of God. When the last day comes and you're standing before the judgment seat, it's going to be your responsibility. Did you do the things that you were commanded to do? Doesn't matter anybody else. It matters on you. And also, we need to remember that we got to study diligently. Don't just study randomly or every once in a while or, you know, kind of half-heartedly. Study diligently. Put your full effort into it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." You know, there's a lot of things that we believe in being Christians, and a lot of things that when we tell other people, it kind of sounds crazy. If you think about Jesus Christ, He was born of a virgin. Think about He never sinned in His life. He went on the cross and died for our sins, and then He was risen from the dead. It's kind of crazy if you've never heard that. Well, we need to make sure we're studying God's Word to make sure those crazy things we believe in are true. To make sure that our calling and our election is true. That we come from the true Word of God. You know, the Bereans, they studied topics that were presented to them daily. When someone would present to them out of the Word of God, they would go back and study every day to make sure the things that they heard were in fact true. If we look at Acts chapter 17, reading 10 through 12, it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." So here we're reading about the Bereans, and it tells us that they were more noble, they were more honorable, more respected than those people in Thessalonica. And when you read that they received the word with all readiness of mind, they received the word with an open mind, with an open heart. You know, the only way you can really receive it with an open mind and open heart is if you have confidence in your ability to make sure it's true. If what you're receiving, you are confident enough in yourself and your own study habits to go back to the Word of God and make sure those things that you are receiving are in fact the truth. And then you can apply them to your lives. So it tells us that they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And then after searching the Scriptures daily, proving those things that were true, it tells us that many of them believed. They had a very strong belief because they knew that it was true. Since they studied daily, they were able to discern both good and evil. They were able to pick out what the things were good, what the things were evil, and apply the good and cast away the evil. Likewise, we need to be doing the same thing today. We need to be like the Bereans and take the things that we hear, study them daily on an individual and personal basis, because it's your own responsibility. Now, studying the Word of God, of course, can help accomplish a few different things. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This tells us once again, first of all, that all Scripture comes from God. That it's not any private interpretation of man, and that it's profitable for us. It's profitable for our souls for eternity. It helps us stay on the right path if we get off a little bit. It helps us correct when we get a little wrong. And it instructs us in the way that we should go. It guides us down the right path. But this is a personal basis that you must make sure you stay on the right path. Nobody can make you stay on the right path. So individual study is extremely important in order to be like the tree planted by the water. To grow in Christ, you must study the Word of God. Simple as that. Now the next thing we want to talk about is group study. Another benefit to studying the Word of God and being in the family of Christ is group studying. We can learn more from each other sometimes than we can teach ourselves. You can teach yourself a lot just by reading and studying the Word of God, but there's other ways you can grow stronger and faster when you have other people help guiding you as well. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So here we're talking about the first century disciples. They went out from house to house and would preach and teach the Word of God in a group setting. Many of us do this today. We go from house to house and we work with other family members and we have big studies and long studies, sometimes individual studies with each other. And we can learn more from each other by doing that. And it also helps increase our relationship with each other at the same time. If we look over in Titus chapter 2, reading verse 1 through 5, it teaches us for the older generation to teach the younger generation. Titus chapter 2, 1 through 5, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So here in Titus, it's talking to us about the elder generation teaching the younger generation. And it tells them to speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What do we have that sound doctrine today? Of course, that's the Bible. That's the best way we can have the older generation teach the younger generation is the examples that we have in the Bible. So you can look at your life, and you can look at the decisions you've made in your life and what affected you to make those and what directed you to make those decisions. And you can always relate those back to the Bible, whether you made the right choice or the wrong choice. You can make those and look back to the Bible and then teach the younger generation in order to help them make their decision as well. This would be like a group setting. So if we're studying different topics in life, we have a group setting where the older generation is teaching the younger. You know, we also have examples about family study habits in the Bible. And when I talk about family, I don't mean your earthly family. I mean the Christian family that we have. So some people here today and some people across the kingdom, they don't have earthly parents or grandparents in order to teach them the Word of God. They might not be in the church. They might not know how to teach themselves. They might neglect it. So some don't have that pleasure of being able to be taught by their parents and grandparents. So it's our responsibility as their brothers and sisters in Christ in order to teach them. You know, in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 through 30, tells us, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." So Jesus tells us that even if you don't have this earthly family to help you out, he said that you're going to receive a hundredfold when you're in the family of Christ. And he tells us you're not only going to receive that hundredfold in eternity, which most of the time we would think about, he says you're going to receive that now, in this time. So I look out here today, and my family is not in the church. They won't teach me the church of Christ and the truth. But I look out today and I see many father figures and I see many mother figures and brothers and sisters. And I see many people willing to take me in as their own and help me out. This is how we need to be. And this is how it needs to be with the group setting. We need to be talking about these things all the time. All the time that we have. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, reading 6 through 9, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on thy gates." So to summarize what Deuteronomy is saying, the words that God commanded us, and the words that we have, which we have as the Bible today, talk about them all the time. Put them everywhere. Everything that you can come up with an example, use them. If you look at your life, just as you go on through your daily life, there are countless ways that you can bring up the Bible. Especially if you've studied in the Bible and you know different examples and you know different passages you can use, there's numerous ways you can bring it up all the time. And that's what God's telling us to do. And he's telling us to do those to our children. And remember, our children can be everybody in the church. Now, I also want to make sure that the children in the audience today know that you have a responsibility as well. The children also have a responsibility to participate in these group studies and to teach others. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." So this is, of course, talking about the prophet Jeremiah, and he was a younger guy. And God goes to him, and he tells him, go to these people, and you speak what I tell you to speak. And these people that God told him to go to, not very nice people. They probably weren't going to take it very well. So, of course, you can imagine that would make Jeremiah nervous as a young man. So he says, I can't go speak to these people. I'm just a child. Well, God says, don't use that as an excuse. He says, say not I'm a child. I told you to go speak. You go speak. Simple as that. So we need to do the same thing today, children. When you're in the group assembly or you're in the group studies with other people, God tells you to participate in those group studies. He tells you to study yourself and to make sure that you can have input into those. Because you can teach us just as well as we can teach y'all. Now, the last thing I want to look at is fellowship. Fellowship in the group setting. When you're in a group study with other brothers and sisters in Christ and other family members, when you're in that, it's a great time to fellowship with one another. And we have an example of that in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verse 41 and 42 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." So here, of course, we're talking about the earliest Christians that we have, the first century church, right when they were baptized. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued studying God's word together. They went from house to house, as we had read about earlier. It also says they continued in the doctrine and in fellowship. They were fellowshipping with one another at the same time. You know, one thing I wanted to point out about this, that when we fellowship with one another, it's the perfect time for us to increase our relationship with each other. It's a perfect time for us to get to know each other and find out more about the ways of each other and how we can learn and grow from one another. Now, these were the earliest Christians, of course, and they were just baptized. And when we look at what they did, it says they were just baptized. There's about 3,000 of them baptized. It says they continued steadfastly. They were eager to learn. So think about the time when you were baptized. Think about the time when you made the decision to turn your life over to Christ. And you were baptized, and that feeling you had when you rose up out of the water. Do you remember the energy and the passion and just how you felt? Like you were unstoppable. You could conquer anything. You probably felt the cleanest and freshest you've ever felt in your life because you had no sin on you at that point. You could go out and do anything in the world and nothing could stop you because you were a child of God. Do you remember that excitement? Well, this was the same excitement that they received. And they harnessed that excitement and that energy, and they used it to benefit the kingdom. All it says is they continued steadfastly in doctrine and fellowship. They continued. I haven't been able to find any passage after that or before that saying that they stopped. I can't find anything that even says they slowed down. It just says they continued steadfastly. And I know we have slowed down since we were baptized. We kind of lose a little bit of that energy. You lose a little bit of that excitement. Distractions come up. So let's find a way to get that excitement back into our lives and harness that power so we can get back into the Word of God and have the excitement that they had at the same time. So now that we looked at both individual and group study, it might be a little bit beneficial to look at what or why do we study. Why would we look to God's Word? Well, the first thing that we can look to God's Word is for guidance in our life. There's a lot of different books out there. There's a lot of different people that will tell you to do certain things in order to guide you down a path that you may or may not want to go. But the true Word of God is the best guidance that we can have. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Tells us the way we want to go. I'm assuming, since you're here this morning, that you would like to go to heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, the Bible is the best way to guide you there. So that's one reason why we study God's Word. The other reason is we can understand. We understand more by studying God's Word. Looking back up a few verses in 98 through 100, it says, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." So here it talks about understanding more of God's word and understanding more of the ways of God. There's a lot of time things happen and people understand, they'll just say the phrase, "Well, you know, I don't know the ways of God, but this. I don't know why God does certain things, but this." You know, by studying God's word, we can understand the ways of God more efficiently. We can know why certain things happen because we know how God operates. It also talks about here, it says, "For thy testimonies are my meditation," which we talked about last time, meditating on God's word. So studying God's Word, it will be able to help you meditate on God's Word because you know what to meditate over. We also can find faith through God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Hearing or studying the Word of God in an individual or group setting will increase your faith. And it increases your faith because you will be able to see all the evidence presented to you to know that Christ is the true Son of God, and that He died for your sins and He was risen the third day. You look at all the examples, all the prophecies from the beginning of time, and it will help you increase your faith. There's also a lot of times when we're going through life that things just beat us down. It's hard to keep going. So by looking at God's Word, we can find encouragement. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, one of the passages that gives me personal encouragement says, "There has no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." If there's ever times I'm getting down or temptations are really coming my way or sin is really pounding on me, this is one of the verses we can look at to help increase our encouragement, to help us stay on the right path. It says there's no temptation, there's no sin, there's no problem that you're facing in your life that's not common to man. You're not the only one to ever go through it. There's people in the past that have been able to overcome it. There's people now that can overcome it, and you will be able to overcome it as well because God is faithful. He will help you through it. It says He'll not suffer you to be tempted that above which you're able. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. He's going to give you ways to escape. The reason we can handle all these things is because we get strength from Christ. Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." When we have this source of strength from the greatest strength of all time, Christ, we can handle anything. A lot of times we think it's impossible, and it is impossible with man. But as it says in Mark 10:27, it says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." So if we look at this going backwards, it tells us in Mark chapter 10:27, everything's possible with God. You can't handle it on your own, but God can handle you. So in Philippians, it tells us that Christ gives us our strength in order for us to handle it. And then we go back to 1 Corinthians, it says you can overtake anything because God's always going to give you a way to escape. So just by looking at these few short passages should be able to give us encouragement as we go on. So we've looked at the Bible can give us guidance, can give us understanding, it can help increase our faith, and it can encourage us when there's times of trial. So all of these things that we can receive from the Bible, there's many more things that you can get. All of these will help fertilize our roots that are in Christ. All of these will help us to take in the nourishment that's presently given to us, to be peaceful and strong like the tree planted by the water. All of these will help you in order to grow. So I hope this morning you've been able to see the importance of studying God's Word, the importance of studying it individually on a personal basis so you can answer for yourself on the day of judgment, and the importance of group studying and fellowshipping with one another. You know, when we look at the Word of God, this Word that we have as the Bible is what's going to judge us on the last day. So it's probably pretty important that we know what it says. We know what laws say. We know what the traffic laws say. If it says speed limit 70 miles an hour, if you go over 70, you might get a ticket. There is a consequence for that. So it's probably just as beneficial to know God's Word for eternity so we know how to obey it. If we look at Hebrews chapter 4, reading 12 and 13, it says, "For the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So it tells us here in Hebrews that the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is what's going to judge us on the last day. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to be what divides the good from the evil. The Word of God is going to be the one that says, you're a good, faithful tree planted by the water, and you can come in. Or it's going to say, you're like the shrub in the desert, and I never knew you. So the Word of God is extremely important to know. But I want to make the point that no matter how much you try to study God's Word in a group or individual setting, no matter how much you pray or how much meditation, none of that matters if you're not planted in Christ to begin with. You can do as much as you can in order to try to grow and to get bigger and stronger, but if you're the shrub in the desert, you're not planted in the right soil, you can't grow. It's impossible for you to. You must be buried with Christ in baptism, so then you can raise up like the tree planted by the water. Then you can take in the nourishment. Then your prayer and meditation mean something. Then when you study God's Word individually and in groups, it means something. You're able to grow. You're able to bear more fruit for the kingdom. But you have to be buried in Christ in order to do that. So if you have sin in your life this morning, you haven't been buried with Christ, you're like the shrub in the desert. But you can easily change that today. All you have to do is obey the gospel and wash away that sin in your life and raise up a new creature to grow big and strong like the tree we've been talking about. If you have already been planted in Christ and you feel like your leaves are withering away and the drought is taking a toll on you and you're not really getting the nourishment that you need to get back into Christ, and we can help you with that as well. We can help pray for you. We can help study the Word of God with you. We can do whatever it takes in order to get you back on the right path. If there be one of either class this morning, you would like the prayers of the church, or you would like to be planted in Christ today, we ask you to come forward, have a seat on the front pew while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.